when George Washington took the stage, you know, he said it's in 76, you know, and 75, you know, and all that, you know, and that's what we would do. And, you know, we built this country on that, you know, and after we got, you know, the Declaration of Independence was wrote, they did it, you know. So you got freedom of speech, and I believe in that. But don't tell the army or the people in the army fighting for what's right. I mean, I'm sure at that time people thought George Washington wasn't right. They thought, you know, all these people wasn't right through the years, you know, different ones, you know. Yeah. Back off and all that, you know, been there 10 years. But, you know, you've got a cause, and the cause is freedom. I mean, that's the bottom line. We fight for freedom, you know. And other people's freedom. We want them to have the same freedom we have. You know, we enjoy it. We've got a good, you know, a great country. And we have, you know, you and I, you know, America, we have everything we want. All we got to do is fight for it. That means going to war, going to work, and everything is a fight, you know. Actual battle every day to survive in the workforce, survive in the military, and everything. So, you know, it's there, you know, and the people, you know, I think that group of people, I think now they really realize, I do, you know, that the Vietnam War was behind them. But, you know, they well, I protested, you know, and I did this, and I did that. They don't look back, you know, what would it be if we hadn't did these things? Korea War, World War I, World War II. What would Hitler have done to the world if we hadn't stopped him? I said, Vietnam with no Hitler, but could it be? You know, we can stop the uprising when it's coming, you know, the host. Yeah. Well, on that side, you know, from building an empire to fight us.
Sure, they were building an empire.
Southeast Asia, over there, you know, we could have banned them all together. If we'd had to fight them all at one time, it would have been a war. We fought them on one ground at a time. And I think that's what, you know, we have to do, you know, and build a day. You know, we go to Guatemala or Saudi Arabia, or, you know, wherever we got to go, Iran, Iraq, you know, we fight them. You got to fight them on their territory, small areas. You got to fight it now before it grows into a bunch. Then you got to fight it. Then you got a big problem. That's what we let Hitler get away too long, you know, they did, you know, before they tried to stop it.
Sure.
They started it when they first started, like we do now, and I think we learned from our mistakes. You know, so, you know, when they get mad as president or congress or whatever, you know, one of these smaller countries, why are there big old Americans jumping on in before they get the size of America? You know, I don't want to fight in my backyard downtown here. You know, if I got to fight them, I want to fight them over their house. You know, their ground. Let's destroy their ground. Let's destroy their, you know, their habitat. You know, not ours, you know. Not our families. And give up our families. You know, let's come over here fighting, you know. And I think that's what, you know, people don't really realize what it's like to have a war in their country, you know, the Civil War, you know, we had, you know, just a Civil War, you know, and our grandsons, we hear them talk about it, but, you know, it had to be devastating to them, and everything was destroyed and blowed up and everything, and that's where those countries are, and we leave there, you know, but we got to do that, you know, and to bring it down, because, you know, we're the number one, you know, if you're number one, you got to fight, you know, if you're the number two or three man, nobody really cares about him, they don't come on that number one man, you know, that's what. Well, we are. We're number one in the world, and so we, you know, to stay there, we got to fight. So, I don't like to see our troops go off the tail, you know, but I think about when I went, you know, there's one that's been coming back. But, you know, that's the price we got to pay. You know, we have what we got. Well, these people can still march and they can write articles in papers, and they don't like it, and they don't like that. But, you know, you start taking all this stuff away from them, and every person jump up and say, let's go fight.
Come on, Molly.
Yeah. I came home to Lake Jacksonville. It's ironic there too. I landed in California in the airport. 1970 there, the controllers were on strike. We were real lucky, fortunate. I got downtown there, you know, and all the flights were booked, and got, this was the last flight was taken off, you know, and there's no more, you know, how long they were going to be on strike, you know. So we went down to the airport, and you know, all the, checking all the flights and everything, all of them was booked, you know. So we was going to catch a, I was going to ride a train home, you know. So we got to, I was at the airport, and so we walked down into the cafeteria to get a sandwich, and this airport packed. I told about thousands of people trying to get out of here, you know, this last flight out. So this lady, she came up and she said, military can go down and meet in the employees' cafeteria. Three of us, we walked down there to the cafeteria, we got us stuff, we went over to sit down. So we were moaning and groaning. I mean, we're going to have to ride a train that's going to take us, you know, about a day and a half, 2 days to get to Atlanta. And well, we could fly a plane and be home, you know, in about 12 hours, you know, 10 hours, something like that, then, you know, and be at the house. This guy was sitting there talking. Well, we sat beside us and we were talking, and he asked us, where are you trying to go to? We want to go to Atlanta, Georgia. He said, where are you coming from? He said, I'm sure he's coming from Vietnam. And to the town where I grew up there, he's come see me. So we ate, and I went up to the counter. They had free tickets. We paid for them, standby tickets. We don't compete with all people first class stuff. You know, don't hang in a standby. I'll pay first class. I want to try to get on there, but I feel I'd be bumped off. You know, mm-hmm. He said, you won't be bumped. I guarantee that. Mm-hmm. And we got on the plane first. Thought a lot about it. I was home that day. You know, I left out there and home. Still going out of play that day. Every minute counted, to get home.
Yeah. Tell you what, it must have been a welcome sight to come home.
Yeah, Jack wanted to put that bed in the old square, I dreamed about it, thought a lot about it, and the place and around there, and it was wonderful to see it. Dove it out the glass, and here, and I was back home, wouldn't be nobody shooting at me or nothing like that here. Mm-hmm. That's weird about it. In a matter of 4 days, when you come from the jungle to home, it's just unreal. It leaves on the difference in then you step back into it, step back and step into another world. What they live in, what we live in. It's unbelievable. Yep. We're ahead of everybody. We still ahead of everybody in that all kinds of life. Walk life, we're ahead of them in everything. What we eat, how we live, the way we live, the way we do. Everybody wants to be like an American. I want to be an American. It's wonderful to be here. Still find out one difference. I got home, I didn't get in. I thought about it all through the years, it pops up in your mind, right now, and I'm 45-year-old, 44-year-old, they would be, that age, and they would have got to live, we were kids. I look at a kid now, an 18, 19-year-old, think about that a lot, take them right out of high school and put them in combat, 10 weeks, say 20 weeks. From high school graduation, you're in combat in Vietnam. There's a lot of them that are coming straight to Vietnam, right out of there. About the way kids are and the way the Army is, what it'd be right now as a kid if we had to really go back to that. I hope we don't. There's always that possibility. I think we've lashed the Army up so much. How people join, I know the volunteer army is great, but I wonder if it's working combat. I really don't know. Out of war, we still have people volunteering a lot, mental services, we've taken a lot of the discipline out, the hardcore training, been done away with, and making all the ranges now, we take all the reality out of it, make it to join the service, doing real combat, you really need some combat training. I think now we have the capability to really train you for combat, really. We're getting the time now, people say we're getting out, we really had combat time. They can tell you what it's like to be shot at, what it's like to be shot. Stuff like that.
Yeah. Were you ever wounded?
No, lucky.
You got lucky?
Yeah, I was real lucky.
Stationed after
I came back to when I was in Missouri, and this instructor paid a book school there. For about 2 months, they made me a drill sergeant. They didn't want to be one, but they needed them, and they made us, like those, about 12 of us, and they made us put them in the cadre and make drill sergeant. And it was, I didn't like it. You know, it was an experience, you know, to be training somebody and tell them how, you know, I just came back from Vietnam, and we'll be there next month, you know. This is what it's going to be like, you know, this is what you'll see. You know, listen to it, you know. And you got to start expressing what's going on, you know. He's going to be the one to get killed, you know. You know, I slept through this part of the class, and what do we do next? Better open your eyes and listen, boys, because you're going to be there. That's real, you know. And, you have a September 1974. I was going to be out for 2 years in '68, and it's been 6 years.